Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everybody, to Chuck and Julie, True Straight Up. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden. This is Party Friday.
That's right.
So we plan to have an all-open Texas death match with lots of people, and we're going to go wild, and we're going to have some fun. Right, Julie?
That's right. You know, the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine with Dr. Jack Schaefer, Denver Cenogenics with Dr. Julie McCallan, and also HappyTrees.co, although we need to have their job. They're taking the winter off, so think about them in the spring. Right. We've got Dave Williams with us on the phone. We've got Ted Trimpa, Democrat strategist on Zoom, as well as, and this is going to be great, Ted's partner, Arash Mosla, who is for folks who don't know, Ted's a Democrat strategist. Arash is a conservative. Not only that, but is almost single-handedly responsible for the Greg Gutfeld show, now skyrocketing into number one.
We wanted to have what we thought was the brightest mind on the Republican Party side in Colorado, which is Dave Williams, and the brightest mind on the Democratic side, which is Ted Trimpa. Since we don't believe in being fair, we got a Raj to come along to help us.
I know. So you guys conspired. You're piling on.
That's right. Well, first let me say, hey, Dave, thank you for joining us.
You bet.
That's right.
You bet.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Dave.
Everybody's everything well. I want to start slightly facetiously with a proposition. Should we not dissolve the Republican Party of Colorado? What is the point of the Republican Party of Colorado? It has no purpose anymore. Ted and his friends have so rigged the system that there's no chance that any Republican could ever run statewide office here. And it doesn't matter because they've rigged our primary. So we get to have an abortion Barbie like Joe O'Day or a Zuckerbuck girl like Pam Anderson as our quote unquote nominees. So it doesn't matter if we could win a race, which they've rigged and we can't. We get to have their candidates for us through this open primary, semi-open primary.
Chuck has been kind of depressed. Chuck is
not depressed. I'm finally free. Let's finally kill the son of a bitch and be done with it. Ted, you've succeeded. And let me tell you, if this isn't good enough for succeeding, they'll bring you ranked voting like they did in Alaska. They have no intention of allowing any Republican ever to win, except for maybe a Greenwood Village council person seat. So why do we play along? And I'll turn to Dave Williams. Why have a Republican Party in Colorado, Dave?
I actually agree with Ted. I think for our Republic,
Ted, that's me.
I've heard him say this a number of times. We need two healthy parties to help operate our system of government here. And it keeps a check on one another, which is important when we decide public policy, regardless of who's in the majority. Yeah. And I don't think we should dismantle the party. We simply need to rebuild it and reform it.
Exactly.
Reform it.
Wait, no, Chuck, I don't know.
They rigged the system so they shoot our candidates.
Wait, I want to start. Okay.
Pam Anderson, you got to be kidding me. She's a Zuckerbuck girl. Joe O'Day. Abortion Barbie.
This is all I can hear.
Who are our candidates? Who are our philosophy? I know what the philosophy of the Republican Party is, and it's in its charter. And but it doesn't matter because none of them run on it. They run on the commitment to Colorado, which is a
table
joke.
Table for one. Cut off my nose to spite my face.
Cut off my nose to spite my face. All of you guys, I want to hear kind of what everybody has to say. Ted, we'll start with Ted. Then we'll go to Raj. I'm going to go to Dave. Ted, when you were on with us just last week or earlier this week, you were sad and depressed. Now you're
happy
drinking.
In Florida.
Yeah, he's gloating. He's been gloating all week long.
I bet. I would too.
Yeah, yeah, well, I have a two-word response for the last couple of days, and that is, you're welcome.
Thank you. What do you make of it? I mean, why is it? I mean, first of all, we should point out we have not lost the House. It looks like we're going to win the House. We might win the Senate. So it's not
in Colorado.
Well, no, I'm not talking about Colorado.
Well, I am talking about that's the question.
No, that's your question.
Oh. Your why not? That's my question. Why have a Republican Party in Colorado?
The question.
Yes, it is a question.
All right. Ted, answer whatever question.
No, I think there are two things that went on. I think that you had the abortion issue ended up being a much more motivating issue than people expected it to be, one. And two, I actually think that there was a certain level of repudiation of kind of Trump tone, Trump tactics. And hear me out. I'm not from the camp that says that the reason why people voted this way is because they felt like democracy was at stake. Do I personally think that that is the case? Yes. Do I think that voters really care about that? No. I do think they care about, they're just tired of the bitterness and what's going on. It's not the partisanship as much as just kind of the tone. And a lot of that you're seeing from some Republicans. And so I think there was just a response to that.
I agree with that, because like Fetterman, what a great guy. I mean, nothing better than a drooling vegetable, if you want the tone and the tenor and the look. And the look of an excellent
Hey, but look at it
candidate.
This way. This is why we have early voting, so we can get that done, get it out of the way.
Exactly.
Let me get around to your take on the past few days.
I mean, like, just overall, I mean, working at Fox News, you know, I mean, that's the corporate media on the right. I mean, we were shocked. Like, for example, in Colorado, for example, like Lauren Boebert, for example, that race, no one, I think, could see that being so close. And I honestly don't know what happened. I think a lot of it had to do with Biden just really like that whole message of telling people that, you know, there's a threat to democracy, this whole, you know, ultra MAGA are evil, and like really going in on all that. I think it probably had something
pumping
to do with
his base, pumping up
the
his
reason
base.
Why it was so close is because it's because Phil Anschutz ran Don Quorum, a quote unquote Republican who loves school teacher unions, against her, made her use enormous amount of funds and got those Republicans to vote against her. So totally corrupt Aspen city councilman who changed his vote on an Uber Lyft because he'd been caught with his girlfriend on a camera in a storage unit because he was a great candidate. You know, quality candidates count.
Well, I tell you, if you're going to hook up, why would you do it in a storage unit?
But that's my big question, too.
You've never lived in Aspen.
Wait, who did? It must be like some kink, you know?
Who did? Only private place in all of Aspen. Only private place is the storage lockers. I mean, that's it. I lived in Aspen. Quit interrupting me.
Dave, your take on things.
Right, so I'm gonna tell you what I think, and then kind of break it down. I ultimately think the problem is that the Republican Party has a brand issue in Colorado specifically, and I think what Ted said is actually quite insightful, and it's a fair point, but I think it's a little bit more nuanced. And the reason I think that is because I think he's absolutely right with respect to the Trump tax concept that he has. And the abortion issue, when he talks about that, I think that's certainly the case with the majority of the unaffiliated voters who voted this go around. But one of the things that I want to point out to everyone here, and I'm still doing a deep dive on it, is that if you compare the Republican voter turnout from this election to 2018 and 2020, if you want, but certainly 2018, you'll find that less Republicans showed up. So it's not just that that the Republican brand is mistrusted amongst unaffiliated voters. It's also that Republicans don't trust Republicans.
In Colorado,
they didn't
you're
bother
talking
to
about.
Show, yeah, in Colorado, they didn't bother to show up. And so my theory right now is that instead of gambling $15 million on the Senate to chase unaffiliated voters that were probably leery of us to begin with because of what Ted already discussed, maybe it would have been a better idea to at least put a good portion of that in simply turning out the Republican base, the people that are most likely to agree with us on our messaging with crime and inflation. But I do also think that the messaging on crime and inflation, we have to reexamine that because it looks to me like it really didn't materialize into any election wins here in Colorado.
Well, apparently
you need your car stolen four times in order for exactly.
Well, I think there are people
like Jimmy Sangenberger. He's up to two now.
I think there are clearly some people who hate the Republicans so much that they could have, you know, spent half their paycheck filling their car up only to have it carjacked by an illegal alien out on a cashless bail, right? And they'd still vote. for the Democrat. But here's what I think, and I'm just going to sum it up. I mean,
okay. Chuck and to top it off, they eat French food. Just top
exactly.
it off.
Exactly. Chuck and I have been saying this for years. I feel like going forward, the only reason I'm going to stay in Colorado is so we can be the martyrs or the canary in the Democrat coal mine. In 2014, Colorado was the second state in the country to implement all-mail balloting and therefore ballot harvesting.
No, ballot harvesting really didn't come in 2018.
Well, but I mean,
when poll has spent $23 million
possibility. And so what we saw in this election was because of the COVID and all that, other states, now almost every state has it. And only one state, I did some research on this, only one state in the entire country says you have to turn in your absentee ballot. Everyone else, we can collect them willy-nilly. Nobody enforces it. I think that that's the one thing. And until the Republican Party wakes up around the country and adapts, if they don't, everybody's going to turn into Colorado. Thank you, Ted. So
no, let me give my 2 cents worth.
Because you haven't yet.
For a change. I've run an election in the cities where everybody voted on election day. I helped pioneer, once Donetta Davidson, a Republican Secretary of State, sua sponte, allowed no fault or no basis absentee ballots going around. And we took Glendale, we took Central City, we took lots of places. It didn't matter what we campaigned on. It didn't matter who our candidates were. None of that mattered. You'd go into some place, everybody like tennis and sailing, everybody's between 18 and 23, bring some strippers with you, some good-looking guys, have parties, have them give you your ballots, and vote them. They could care less what the issues were. They could care less with it. Fetterman, I mean, they just got him elected because he's a drooling fool. Do you think they are? Oh, yeah, he seems like he's good. He has good thoughts. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. It don't matter. Nothing matters. It's rigged voting.
Wait, what?
It's rigged voting.
Oh, and as if Dr. Oz is a good candidate.
Well, at least he can put a sentence together. He doesn't have to look at a monitor.
At least he's not brain dead.
Yeah. I know you got a brain dead president, and that's help.
President.
Hey, but look at it this way. On ballot harvesting, you know, we're so good at this. I grew up on a farm. You know, there's a brand called International Harvester, you know, Combine. So I know something about harvesting.
There you go. Well, and particularly International Harvesting. You know why the Lauren Boebert race hasn't been called yet? Because they have till Wednesday, next Wednesday, to get the international ballots in.
Who came up with that rule?
It's like, because they need till next Wednesday, because she's ahead now, to figure out how many votes they need to. I'd be curious why. And you know what? They can't tell us today how many were sent out. You'd think.
Yeah, why on an election day? That's voter suppression.
Did you see that?
Suppression.
Did you see that Kyle Clark, actually a couple days ago, Kyle Clark on Twitter he didn't so much as call the election for her opponent, but he was kind of leading to that.
Yes,
and
yes.
When she was down by 60 votes,
right.
He basically called it for her.
Right.
I don't know. What's going on in Nevada? What's going on in Nevada? What's going on in Arizona? It's right. All these fishy stuff going on. In my home county of Washoe County, Nevada,
okay.
Washoe County is where Reno is. That is where all these ballots are coming in. There's the late night voting dumps happening. And always these late night voting dumps that happen at 2 a.m, that it's always right. going toward the Democratic candidate. In this case, Catherine Cortez Masto.
Right.
And not only that, but the cameras that are like supposed to be watching going on, they went off.
Right.
They went
right.
off coincidentally.
Now, like, Ted, how do you guys do that? How do you do that?
How do you rig that? First of all, let's remember that states have the constitutional authority in order to set how elections are conducted. So the rules that exist in Arizona were set by Republicans. So it wasn't like
Republicans
out there
stupid.
Firing in terms of how we're going to work the system.
Right.
Second, the idea of the cameras going out, there are still individuals there that are watching polling.
Yeah. Well,
which individuals? I swear to God, the wind changes and you guys think there's a conspiracy. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, something's really going on.
No.
It's Bilderberg. It's no, Bilderberg.
It's not a conspiracy. It's a strategy. Well, let me get Dave Williams. Dave,
let me ask this of Dave. Hey, Dave, great election caucus leadership. You got Mike Lynch, who was put in office by Catherine Murdoch. He'll be a great one for the head of the Republican caucus in the House. And we've got evil Senator Lundeen in the Senate, backed up by big Bob Gardner. Just a great rhino. They're all rhino lineups. I mean, it's the most disgusting group of legislators I've ever seen, with the exception of Stephanie Luck and a few others.
Well, I mean, why don't you tell me how you really feel, Chuck? I mean, I guess what I would say is that, you know, Mike Lynch is certainly someone that, if I were still in that caucus, I wouldn't have supported, mainly because he wants to continue the failed policies and strategies that led to a 19-seat GOP caucus. And that, and he literally said that. I mean, he literally said, we're going to continue the great work of what led us to this position. And I, and what boggles my mind is the rest of the caucus kind of shook their head and said, okay, and didn't think to themselves, well, there's only 19 of us and 46 Democrats upstairs. Maybe, maybe there's a need to change the plan. With that said, I ultimately think they're irrelevant at this juncture. Yes. The Democrats, I think their challenge is going to be controlling a lot of their members so that they don't overreach and get out of hand. And I ultimately think that it's not going to matter for at least 4 years. I think someone did an analysis that there's no way we can actually capture the Senate in 2024. And there sure as hell is no way we're going to capture the majority in the House. In 2024. So for the next 4 years, all the Republicans can do is try to make some incremental gains, you know. And I think there are at least three or four seats you can make a play for in the House, and maybe a couple
Ted's
in the Senate.
Ted's shaking his
but
head.
It's not a majority.
Yeah. Ted, go ahead.
This is assuming that we have the type of strategy and control that you all think that we do.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the wheels are going to fall off of this wagon.
Yes.
When you have
yes.
that many Democrats with that kind of majority yes. in both of those chambers, yes. the left is going to reign.
Yes.
And when the left reigns, if leadership can't pull them in, we're going to have a lot of crazy, crazy, crazy things happen.
Which is why I think we ought to dissolve the Republican Party, all become Democrats, so we can support your side of the Democratic Party.
So we can
there's
support
no point. There's no point in supporting our side because we don't have a side anymore. We might as well join you and say, okay, you win. Which guys of you leftists should we support who aren't quite as great?
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll go to the local Denny's and see that the Republican caucus is meeting in the back table.
Yeah.
Bite them in.
Well, I mean, Chuck, this is what I would say. I don't think it's as dire as you think it is.
It was great. Oh, in New York is utterly blue, and they could have somebody within 5 points. We have a nice lady.
Let him finish. Let him finish.
If you just look at the arithmetic, right? If we spent money on chasing and turning out our side,
yes,
we wouldn't have won statewide. I think that's clear. But we would have probably made gains in both chambers and probably captured CD8. I think there's something to the fact that Republicans don't trust Republicans, and we got to figure out how to get rid of all Republicans.
I think Dave is making a really good point. Chuck, is in some ways lining up with some of what you're saying, and that is that you're actually not talking to your conservative base. You're not talking about what, you know, Republicans really are, and we really need to get the people out that really care about the party. If they're not coming out and voting, in part, they're saying no to what they see as O'Day Republicanism.
Right.
And Republicanism. So I think what the point is, and I can see what it, you know, what it is, I actually agree with it. You know, to get your people to come out, you have to invite them to the party.
Right.
And if you have to squash them in the primary. You got to squash them. You got to squash them with independent voters electing Democrats.
Well, Chuck, I will say this. I think there's a temptation that is out there amongst our base that if we nominated Tina Peters, or if we nominated Ron Hanks, then they would have perform better. And I'm not actually convinced. And by the way, full disclosure, I supported those guys.
Right.
But I don't think that they would have actually been able to perform better than the current nominees, given the fundamental problems that we have in our party to begin with.
Oh, if we nominated Jesus Christ, we would have lost. We can't win because they've rigged it.
You're always going to have a problem with somebody who's under threat of indictment, of a federal indictment. It's probably not a good person you would want to run for office.
Would that bother the Democrats in the least?
They would do it. They would do it, Chuck.
It would be like the indictment. But here, right, Dave, I want to go back because I want to ask Ted too about donors. But did you see this stupid letter that Christy Burton Brown set out? I think she essentially blamed it on the stupid voters.
No, she said, "You guys lie and have more money, so we can't possibly win."
We can't possibly win.
Oh, okay, that's brilliant.
We need to change.
Well, we can't give up because she has a salary to protect.
Yeah.
Okay. What's amazing about that is that Republicans spent anywhere from $15 to $17 million on the $1 million in the state Senate. We spent half that.
Yeah.
I'd love to know where the 15 and 17 went for. I mean, what
consultants? Consultant salaries.
It didn't go to harvesting ballots. That's for sure.
Well, Ted, here's my question.
And you can get a combine for $250,000.
You can go from international harvester.
Well, that'd be one vote.
Do you think, here's what I hope, is as long as the Colorado Republican Party is sort of controlled by Phil Anschutz, who is not really conservative, that he controls the money, he's going to control the party leadership, therefore the candidates, blah, blah, blah.
All right, well,
Oh, no, because Chuck doesn't think so, but I don't know what you think, because you deal with donors. I think at one time you told us your job was to bundle dark money. Russian hods.
High dark money.
It's clearly solidly blue for the foreseeable future. Do you think the donors will pack up their toys and go away and give grassroots time? Or
no.
The donors still, that's what Chuck says, donors will still try to influence whatever they can influence.
Well, I think on the Republican side, if I were a donor, I would be asking questions of where did all this money go?
Right.
I mean, to have this kind of performance. Let's take that it was a, quote, sort of wave year for Democrats, which I don't buy. I mean, right. We had great results, but there's other dynamics that are going on. I would want to know, okay, so you spent 15 or 17 million on what? Show me. And I think this is the fundamental problem that the Republican side has, is that you let consultants drive what you're doing.
No,
and donors have to be, whether they like it or not, actively involved.
They because are.
It's their. Well, they need to be more actively.
You don't get it. You don't get it. The donors control the consultants, and they tell the consultants what to do. The consultants would be MAGA Republicans if that's what the donors wanted. Phil Anschutz gave the max amount in his own name to Liz Cheney. To Liz Cheney on her reelection bid. It's not the Josh Penrys that are controlling the Phil Anschutz. It's just the opposite. And since we're here just among friends, and we won't tell anybody else,
because you never use clips of me on the show for other things. In terms
that's
of-
right. That's right. We never do it. Neither does Colorado polls. And
you won't see
polls. What was the deal that you all with polls made with Anschutz? I mean, what was exactly it? I mean, how much did you agree he would not fund anybody on the Republican side for governor, and that you'd leave that to Steve Wells and stuff? What was the deal?
Who, by the way, ads were awful, by the way.
What?
I mean, would they message test him with his wife?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Chuck, I mean, let me get in here, because I think Ted's right. Ultimately, I think what's happening here with Phil Anschutz and the mega donors is they are telling the consultants, we don't want, you know, grassroots, conservative, anti-establishment people to win. Yes. But the consultants are the ones that are actually implementing and driving a plan, and the donors don't know really what's going on. And so that leads to the consultants to essentially charge absurd, you know, consulting fees and then not get enough money into the field.
Right.
And whatever does get into the field isn't—it's just not good messaging. It's just not.
They don't
good
want.
I mean,
George Yiannopoulos spent all the time talking to Anschutz people, saying we need more people in the field. We need money for field operations. And they all, no, we don't, because that would be around those dirty, grimy working people who we and the Democrats all hate. Those working class people who stink that go to Walmart.
You guys don't know how to knock on doors because you have gates around your houses.
Not anymore. Yeah. Right. Luckily, Polis is real working class. That guy worked his ass off to get his mom's money into the internet. I mean, it's just great stuff.
Well, that's not fair to Jared. I mean, Jared is self-made.
He's bright.
Jared's a jerk.
Well, let me ask you this. So with this night,
he's a great governor.
If I was Jared, I'd be worried because I think he wants to be president. And does this give Biden a bounce? I mean, the fact that people are like, oh, God, we could be won anywhere. We didn't at least lose.
Well, luckily, you guys can now have him in the grave and still win.
Right. Yeah, really.
Well, you know, you have to think about it. This is the best performance of a party in a midterm. And yeah, I mean, beyond recent memory. So, I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due.
Biden. People say, oh, nothing's happened. And the crime and the homelessness and
inflation. Come on. The bipartisan things that happened. You had bipartisan veterans reform, postal reform, you know, bringing back the the semiconductor industry. You had infrastructure. You had, you know, bailing out the economy. And we can argue about I'm with you. You pour money in the economy, you get inflation. And I think that's a large reason why we
And how is that Afghan withdrawal?
You can't say.
The brilliant retreat in Dunkirk of all ones. It was Dunkirk, wasn't it, when the Afghan withdrawal Dunkirk? I mean, you guys are willing to say anything. Look, brilliant things. The border. The border is very nice and fluid and very secure, too.
Go ahead, Dave.
Chuck, what I would say, I think, to kind of build off of what Ted just said there, is that we have no one but to blame but ourselves. The not you and me, but the Republican Party generally. I mean, we spent 4 to 2 years not actually making the case to voters why Jared Polis shouldn't be reelected.
Don't you get it?
He got handled with kid gloves by the Republicans.
That's true.
And we never ever actually tried to make coherent, consistent case to fire Jared Polis. And instead, we did the opposite.
It doesn't matter what you say.
No. Dave is right.
Oh, God.
In order to take you got to bleed him. You got to attack them. And what's happening what's happening with a lot of Republicans, they get up in the morning, they brush their teeth, and they start singing, I feel pretty, I feel pretty, I'm witty, I'm wise, and I'm divine. So, I mean,
it's true. That's true.
I mean, that's what I witnessed, front row, is that every time we had a chance to try and do something, the instinct by leadership, by those in power in the legislature or outside was, well, let's try to just work with them and get some bipartisan gains. And that's a double-edged sword, right? If I'm a Democrat, I want bipartisan gains so I can go to the public and say, look, I'm so good that the opposition party agrees with me. Don't fire us. And that's unfortunately what our side has been doing for so many years, because they think they can somehow sweet talk their way to a majority. And that's just not reality. That's not the reality of the blueprint, for God's sake. What do you think the Democrats did to us 20 years ago? They made us look like a bunch of jerks, and they won.
That's how
you win majorities. As simple as that.
And I think, too, what we need to realize, and I have to say, kind of like when the Democrats, MSNBC goes to Wyoming, and they're kind of shocked at how many MAGA people there are, because they only thought there were five. I was stunned at how many I didn't realize, I think there are all these Democrats, they don't care how awful the candidate is. They don't, like I said, they don't care how awful the economy is. They hate the Republicans and they hate Donald Trump so much, they will never vote for a Republican. And I think-
You don't get it.
But in part, we got the Republican Party thinks that they can convince these people and they're never going to convince them. And I want to ask you-
Let me give you that. I ran an election in the city where we had everybody go to the polls and we went to all the likely voters. No, you don't get it. And I went, we had all these great 3-point prongs. We get great candidates and so forth. We lost the next election. So then we took advantage of Donna Davidson's incredible surrender to the Democratic Party and got everybody to do absentee ballots. We could care less what our candidates were. We could care less what the issues were. It's not that they hated Republicans or hated Democrats. They were 18-year-olds who could care less. They were recently naturalized and unnaturalized people. Central City, I mean, in other places. It doesn't matter. You can have the best argument in the world. You know, when they go up to see you and pick up all those ballots, there's been all these ones where people finally get it. Republicans try to get votes. Democrats get ballots. And as long as they get ballots, and we get votes, we will never win, no matter how articulate Hugh McCain became.
Well, I mean, they go hand in hand. Of course, you work the system and try to, run up the numbers with the ballot chase. But I don't think anyone should be able to deny that for the past two decades or so, the Democrats have successfully defined who the Republican Party is to the point where now we're at super minorities. And that
they've managed to change every election rule, including financing parties. Every rule has been changed. Including how we get to nominate our own candidates. And the Republicans say we got to get better with messaging. Are you kidding me? You guys must just be laughing dead. Now, these guys are unbelievably stupid. My God. We've got to get our message a little better.
Chuck, we got to do both.
No question.
The second we went to mail-in balloting, that allowed for more ballots to go into circulation, and then you can work the system that way, among other systematic changes. I get that, but you have to do both. You have to be able to work the system, but also define your opponent. And the Democrats have run circles around us for two decades.
Right. But Ted, what do you think? And then Dave too, and Chuck, and then me. I mean, I think, and Chuck, you pointed this out. I think this is right. I think what we're quickly evolving into is an extremely, even more extremely divided country. I think you're going to have now totally blue states like Colorado, because they get in and all the rules change. And then red states like Florida, where they also change some of the election laws to benefit the Republicans. And there's going to be money spent in the middle. But I mean, I think that's what we're seeing in this country. It's not becoming less divided. It's going to become more divided. I mean, Colorado is going to be blue, like I said, for
our only chance is join Wyoming. I mean, that's the only chance. Parts of us can join Wyoming, and then Denver and the Sickoplex can be part of California or something.
Well, I tell you, if you guys move to Wyoming, I can never come visit you, because I think I have an outstanding speeding ticket. And I probably have a or if I go up there, I can probably disappear.
Oh, okay. We'll come down to Florida.
But first of all, I think you're making the assumption that we in Democratic land aren't going to screw it up. As much as I love my friends in the progressive, you know, wing of the party and the fellow Democrats that I have, we're going to overreach. We're going to spike the ball. And even for people who don't know how to play football are going to spike the ball, at least try to do it. And there's going to be a consequence of that. And you think about the number of unaffiliated voters there are in Colorado, that could swing, you know, and if you got, you know, your act together in terms of a brand and you had some great candidates, I mean, Heidi Gnall being all concerned about furries, I mean, I mean that's like so ridiculous.
Clark just
our branding around Heidi Gnall was our own fault.
Well, yes. I mean, she should, yes.
It doesn't matter how we brand people. It doesn't matter any of it. I mean, you guys just laugh every day. We change every rule. And then you guys must have, do you have watch parties where you just play over and over again, Wayne Williams?
You know, I have an idea for you, Chuck. You should have a new column in your newspaper, and that is cut off my nose.
Yeah. Well, there's no Republican nose left. There's none left. So you're going to start cutting out the ears. There's nothing left of the Republican Party because of 20 years.
We'll just call you people, go then.
How can you have the Republican chair and leading congressmen say, we've got the gold standard in voting? You guys must go, how did we do that? How do we get that moron? Did somebody pay him? Oh, yeah. Yes. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I did want to sort of, because we're having fun here and it's whacking this Party Friday, but what do we do with the Republican Party?
Nothing.
I mean,
get
to me, you got to blow up, I think, the establishment and the people.
Well, actually, we should ask a true right-wing conservative who doesn't even like being called a Republican.
Wait.
Who's working at Fox, you know, because they sacrifice a goat every morning before they figure out what the news is going to be. So we should hear what he thinks that they should
do. Yes, okay.
Florida Rash.
Well, okay, so I think, you know, we need to beat the Democrats at their own game.
Yes.
So we hate like election day has now become election week, election month, election 2 months. So it is what it is. I think we just got to do it, and we got to beat them at their own game and start getting the Republicans to vote early.
Yes.
Vote off. Like, they all do these dirty tricks. So we need to do them too.
I agree. Yes.
Everything that they're doing, we're not smart enough
to figure out how to do a dirty trick.
We're not.
You leave that to Nixon.
I agree with you, absolutely.
This is the world we're in.
But by the time we do it, they'll bring ranked voting everywhere.
So how come in Colorado there is not ballot harvesting on the Republican side?
Exactly.
There needs to be ballot harvesting on the Republican side.
Because that would be cheating, Arash.
Because it's really hard to get that wheelchair to roll up that old broken concrete sidewalk.
It takes a ground game. And Dave, you address this. It's because the consultants don't make as much money trying to pay people, to go knock on doors and things like that. So they'd rather spend the money on TV ads if they get kickbacks. I mean, what do you think about why didn't we do ballot harvesting, Dave?
I think we don't do ballot harvesting because I think there's a somewhat of a misconception that it's all illegal, and it's not. Right. There's legal ballot harvesting that you can go do, and we should engage in doing that since this is the system and the rules in which we're operating. And I think ultimately we don't do that because we just don't have as much experience, and there's not a lot of folks that on our side that know how to organize and operate in that manner.
Well, here's
if we're going to fix the Republican Party, you know, that we got to get the fundamentals right. I mean, you're talking about ballot harvesting. We should be talking about the basics of how to operate not only a political party, but organize folks to election victory. And that's we're not doing the basic stuff. We're not making the case day in and day out why Democrats are terrible. And I want to say something about the swing voters. You know, the swing voters, they're not ideologically driven. That's why they're unaffiliated. We have a good opportunity, if we can get the messaging right based off of what they care about, to get them to swing our way. And that we got to figure out what the audience wants, make our party align with that in accordance with our principles, and make the opposition party look like they're against it. And right.
There was a comment from Dr. I think it's Donna Walters or Donna Waters about the 10 ballots. And what I think, and this is just a little anecdote, little fact for you, an anecdote, I know, plural of anecdotes, not data, but on the Denver ballot that comes out at the top of the envelope, it effectively says you can submit 10 ballots.
Yes.
And what it means is you can go out and you can collect 10. But right. If I were conservative, like Arash, I took a look at that. I'm like, so basically you're saying that according to what Denver says, the elections division, that you can submit 10 ballots. What they mean is you can collect 10.
Right.
But that's just showing how sloppy we are in terms of how we harvest.
Right.
Here's why the Republicans will never win the ballot harvesting war. Ballot harvesting is incredibly easy because I've done a lot of it. When you go into a big apartment complex where every door is just a foot from the other door, you ballot harvest in suburbia and much less ballot harvest in rural areas, you get shot. If you trying to go from a ranch to the next ranch to pick up the ballot, I mean, we got Bob's ballot in.
Well,
we only took
it
2 days.
This is why you need firearm safety reform.
Yeah. Bingo. Chuck set that up.
Great. No, that was perfect. I love that.
Do you think, why is it taking, and do you think this is going to hurt you guys, the fact that Nevada, well, it's true, Nevada, Arizona, California, there's 31 House seats still up, 16 of them are in California. And in some of those races I was reading this morning, they've only counted like 39%.
There's a reason.
I know there's a reason, but do you think that's ever come back to bite you or no?
Probably not, because I think people are getting to the concept of all mail ballot. They know it's going to take some time.
To perfect, like you have in Colorado,
reservation at French Laundry, and so when they get to all of that, they'll go back and count ballots.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, I'll ask you then. Then Dave, you could weigh in Arash too, because I think Arash, you're in New York, where they did manage, at least in New York, to win some races, unlike in Colorado, even
because we rigged the gerrymandering.
were you paying attention to that? I mean, in New York, it's astonishing.
I know that there were a handful of House races that actually flipped from Democrat to Republican in the House of Representatives. Nationally. And I mean, to Lee Zeldin's credit, you know, when Andrew Cuomo won governor, like however many years ago, he won by like a 20% margin over his Republican opponent. And this year, Kathy Hochul only won by like 5% over Lee Zeldin, which for a Republican, I mean,
that's
sure,
closer.
He lost.
Right.
But I mean, that's a big inroad. But that was really disappointing. You know, I mean, seriously, like living in New York, you don't feel safe.
Uh-huh.
You know, just walking to work, you know, a few blocks, you know,
yes.
I don't take, even Ted has told me, don't take the subway anymore.
Well, actually, what I tell him is don't wear your fox hat. It's really not right to be walking around New York in your fox hat.
But I mean, yes. So do all your viewers right now and listeners, like New York is, I mean, like you're taking your life in your own
hands.
Oh,
that's so ridiculous. That's not fair. It's not fair.
Why are you in Florida, though?
It's great. You're totally safe. Just don't jump in front of a train.
You're in Florida, but you're in Florida right now. So.
Right now, we're in Florida. Yes, today. Right now, I just flew into Florida just for a fun weekend.
No, actually, you're not going to have in New York.
We're here to do homage to DeSantis for him.
There we go. There
excellent.
We go.
Excellent. So,
is Biden going to run? And Dave, I'll get you to weigh in on that too. Do you think Biden's going to run again? I mean, did this solidify it for him? Does this kind of quiet some of the talk about, you know, we need to get somebody else in there?
Are you asking me first?
You first, then Dave, maybe.
Okay. So, one, it would be stupid for Biden to ever say he's not going to run, because the minute he says he's not going to run, then he's effectively a lame duck. Right. So we got that.
Senile lame duck.
Two, it would be crazy for him to run again. You look at what's happening today and read between the lines when I say that. It just doesn't make sense. And so it becomes a question of then what's the setup for who is going to run and who would be the best kind of candidate. And this is where I say, I think it should be a governor. Because there's this like inside game of let's, you know, sabotage Kamala Harris, the vice president. I mean, it's just didn't fall out of the air that she was like given immigration. I mean, that's something for Democrats. You know, how are you going to solve it? The type of policies that you're willing to do aren't going to solve the problem.
Right.
So she was set up.
Right.
I think set up in a way because they don't want her to be able to run.
A governor from a Western
state? They hate her.
A governor from a Western state, perhaps?
His name is, his initials are Jared Polis. I think
I have
so
to
too.
Tell you, I mean, you know, throw a rock to a rock, you can get a governor to be president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, Biden hates Kamala Harris. Jill Biden hates her.
Yeah.
Like,
Dave, what do you think? You were up at the Capitol and dealt with, but do you see him, or what do you think they do with Biden?
I think it's really hard to tell with Joe Biden. I think ultimately he's going to run for re-election because I don't know. I believe in the old axiom that, you know, what does every first term president want? A second term, right? I think ultimately that's what he does, but I think there is a lot of merit to the discussion here that, you know, he got what he wanted out of his political career. He was able to check off the box that he's president. He's getting older. You know, is he going to be able to compete against, you know, whoever we nominate in 2024? I think there's a lot of merit to it. I just ultimately, though, I think he runs again.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you think is going to happen to the Republican Party in Colorado?
For the love of God, let's hope he doesn't run again, please. For the love of God.
I mean, do you think where did we reelect Christy Burton Brown?
Well, you know, I think it would probably be best if everyone that was involved in the Colorado Republican Party or anyone at the top of the strategy decision making, if they all kind of just quietly took a break, right? So I don't think it would ultimately be a good idea for Christy to run again because results matter. The scoreboard is the scoreboard. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we need to start, you know, figuring out something else, and that's going to require new management. With that said, I have no idea who, you know, is going to run and take over the party. But at the end of the day, too, the party's ineffective. You know, that's not where the action's at because of campaign finance law.
Right.
Right.
So
another change by the Democrats.
Got Barney, I think it's, and Barney, I don't mean to pick on you if you didn't, but our guy is saying that you've unmuted your mic. Did you want to jump in on this, Barney?
Now. Well, sure. I always want to run my mouth, Julie.
There you go. Here you go. You're with Ted, Araj, Dave, Chuck, and Julie, and billions of people on Zoom as well.
Barney,
okay, let's start. Well, hang on a minute. Araj?
Yes.
Raj, grab a frying pan real quick, and then I'll tell you what to do with it.
Whack him over the head with it.
Oh, no, in the face.
No.
Over the head. And Dave, let me help you out. When you say the word bipartisan, you freaking send me through the roof. We've had bipartisan shit forever. We have John McCain. We have Cory Gardner. We have the a-holes run when something's really important. So to me, I want two parties. I want effing liberals and I want effing conservatives. Now, when I say conservative, and I realized that Greg Lopez is against gay marriage. I'm not sucking up to you, Ted or Raj. I think these sodomy laws were done to go after the Mormons 150 years ago. I don't give a damn who, you know, the true conservatives doesn't really give a damn what you do with anything. I don't need the state to tell me to get married or get divorced. And why why we even think about, I didn't call about gay marriage, but why do I have to ask the state for any goddamn thing? But Dave, this is about, look at, and Chuck, I'm sorry, it's over with. The Republicans, all we ever heard was, oh, we have to elect, we have to put the most electable candidate up there. No, we don't. We really don't. I want to know who the hell you are, and I want it coming from your heart. And if I don't like it, I'm not going to vote for you. I don't know how Joe O'Dea thought for 1 second he's going to accuse Michael Bennett of not having anything to do with any bills. Are you kidding me? A guy like Michael Bennett, you really think that Michael Bennett had nothing to do with sat on his butt? No, he didn't. And you know what we had? We had Cory Gardner with a lip lock on Mitch McConnell's butt.
All right, thank you, Barney. Okay. We appreciate it.
Well, I just want to say I've never been accused of being bipartisan.
Was he in New Hampshire that said, "Hey, I want to go to Washington and I want to shove"? Hey.
But, hey, Barney, we're going to have to, you're going to have to back
bipartisan. When you're talking about rebranding the Republican.
Oh, I don't think you meant that.
Shut me up. Hey, Barney,
you're kind of breaking up, so let me go back.
Okay, shut me up. Shut me up. See you, bye.
Yeah, Barney.
Dave, in your defense, I don't think you were saying we need to be more bipartisan, right? Just.
No. When I talk about rebranding the party, I actually mean getting back to the principles upon which it was founded. Because the party as it's been constituted right now is more wishy-washy and moderate and uninspiring. So no, I've never been accused of being bipartisan. If you don't believe me, ask Ted.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think we need to do? I think we need to bring in Elon Musk to handle the Republican Party the same way he handles Twitter employees. He's like, you're all back at work Thursday, or you're fired. And by the way, half of you are fired anyway. Yeah, exactly.
He knew how to handle Amber Heard.
Yeah.
Well, see, Elon Musk is actually a billionaire that actually has $1 billion compared to Trump.
Yeah. Oh,
Ooh, but not as much as Mark Zuckerberg does. You guys might be out a little bit on the Zuckerbox this next time around, too. It's been bad over there at Meta, which even I could tell you why. If you've ever played on the Oculus Quest, it sucks unless you're an 11-year-old boy. But anyway.
All right, so we don't have a statewide election race for another 6 years here in Colorado.
4 years.
4 years?
2026.
2026. Yes. And we have just a smattering of senators and House members,
like three, like you said, table at Denny's.
And what should be the Republican platform going forward? We suck,
Colorado.
Oh, that's right. Never, we must never
the Republican
give up.
Platform should be just love me.
please love me.
Vote for us,
Dave. What do you think our platform should be?
It should be what it was constituted to be. I mean, the party platform is a good platform. The problem is no one trusts us. No, and for good reason. All these guys who get elected, and when they get into power, they actually don't deliver on the promise or the campaign promise that they campaigned on. And worse, you know, when they're in the minority or in the majority, they work with Democrats to do things that are just fundamentally not what the voters really want. We're not trusted. And so I guess what I would do is, if I were in charge, is I would get back to the basics. I'd rebuild trust with Republicans, because if we don't have Republicans in our corner, we sure as hell aren't going to get unaffiliated in our corner.
So, okay. Well, Ted, what is real quick, because we got about 2 minutes. So I think we need to keep in mind still, because the corporate media is spinning this like it was this debacle, when actually the reality is, yes, it wasn't as good as we thought it was going to be, but we're probably going to take the House if California ever gets its votes counted, and Colorado. And, you know, it's still looking good for the Senate. So, I mean, you know, we're going to be having Hunter Biden laptop investigations. We're going to be having January 6th.
Not if Mitt Romney has anything to say with it.
Fauci, COVID origin.
Exactly. So you Democrats are happy now, but I mean, is it all happy lava land, or are there still things?
No, they're splitting. Okay.
Well, no, think about it though. In terms of a performance in a midterm election for the, you know, the party that's in power in the presidency, for us to lose by like this much, not this much. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the tone and what it's saying, and then you take a look at the Trump endorsed candidates that lost, you know, and the messages that that sends. You talk about, you know, what's going on with abortion. I realize some people don't think abortion is as big of an issue as, you know,
I think it was.
I mean, you think about it, you know, and this is my complaint about polling. It obviously wasn't accurate, and we shouldn't be averaging them, because if you have two or three really bad polls, and then you just add two more and three more, and you keep averaging them, all you're doing is diminishing the ability of it to actually be accurate. And when you take a look at abortion, was like, what, the 9th, 10th issue that people cared about? And then when you did the exit polling, it was number two.
Right.
So I forgot what question I was answering.
You were going to say, so it's going to look really bad for Democrats because Republicans are going to be in control and we're going to impeach Biden. No.
It wasn't as bad as it should have been. You guys overperformed. That was, I think, the point.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, we're all really tired. We're really tired.
But Chuck and Julie, a win is a win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We sit here in Bronco land, you know.
At the end of the day, next week, 2 weeks from now, still the Republicans will have the House, even right. by a few. Hopefully, it'll be the Senate. And sure, right. it wasn't a huge blowout, but I think a win is a win, and they need to do what all they can while they still have that power.
Oh, yes, Mom. But I got invited to prom. I really did. I was the last person. I got to go.
We got to bring this group back together sometime.
Together. We want to thank Dave Williams on the phone, Ted and Arash, Barney, everybody on Zoom, the great guys at BBS. You guys, Chuck took my, I gave my drink to Chuck, who's just coughing. It's Party Friday, wherever you are, whatever time. It's cocktail hour. All right. We'll see you guys later. Thank you, everybody. Wonderful show. See you, everybody, on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Had a blast.
All right.
Take care.